with the third pick in the 2014 NFL Draft, the Jacksonville Jaguars select Blake Bortles, quarterback, Central Florida.
So a guy that's extremely talented, wanted to be here, and, you know, possesses all the physical traits we're looking for.
You know, he's everything we preach. He's a guy that's a highly competitive guy.
This guy loves Jacksonville, and he's excited about this. I'm pumped up to see all you guys here, man. That's a great job.
Now live from Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your host Mike Dempsey and John Osher.
Hey, welcome in everybody. It's a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Mike Dempsey, John Osher, Fat Tony, Lauren Brooks, Joe Fortunato. That is Jaguars Today on this Wednesday. Osh, what's going on with the selfies over here, man? You're like, you're smitten with the selfies this morning. What's going on?
Yeah. It's training camp time. It's time to get going. It's time to get rolling.
Is that right?
It's time to get rolling.
As Gus would say, that's good job. That's good job by you, John Osher, taking all these selfies this morning. Gus,
he's so blah, isn't he, Gus?
He really is. Yeah. All kidding aside.
Liven up a little bit.
Puts a big smile on my face every night. Yeah. Just, you know, that seemingly always genuine emotional outburst that he has over, particularly when he sees the fans turning out to support him. Training camp opening up in a couple of days. Bit of a damper, obviously, getting thrown on the festivities with the conference call yesterday with Ace Sanders taking his medicine, and I give him credit for doing that and facing the music, but it's a situation that he created for himself. John, correct me if I'm wrong, substance abuse policy, you don't get to the point where you get a four-game suspension unless you're already in the program, meaning you've had a positive test or some indicator that has put you in the program where you're at risk of more frequent tests than the one annual test that NFL players get.
Right.
And so that would indicate multiple failed tests for a Sanders and a looming four-game suspension. Your immediate reaction to that?
Well, it's not good for the team, obviously, when you lose a guy who you figured was going to be in the rotation at some point. I think what it does at the receiver position, we'll talk the football side of it first, it takes away the margin for error at the position. You've got two rookies who you expect to contribute a great deal. If those two rookies play above what I consider the normal level for a rookie, which I don't expect a great deal from rookies at that position until maybe the second half of the season. If those two guys perform well and Cecil Shorts is healthy, then I don't know that you necessarily miss Ace Sanders that much on the field. But if one of those guys isn't out there or if one of those guys ends up performing, Ace was a little bit of a safety net. You saw what he could do last year. I'm not sure Ace is ever going to be a 1,000-yard guy who's stretching the field for you. But you had developed, I'm sure Chad Henne had developed some confidence in him to sort of know what he could do, where if you put him in, he could get you by for a while. Now you don't have that. Now you don't have that piece. So it lessens the margin for error at that position, at a position that's very, very young with a lot of uncertainty. And he was at least a little bit of a certainty there.
Yeah, I agree with you. In the overall scheme of things, you hope at best he's your fourth receiver.
Right.
So it's not on a team that wants to run the football. Your fourth receiver isn't
right.
as daunting a loss as a lot of other guys could be. But
injuries are a reality in this
absolutely.
League.
Absolutely. And we saw it all summer in that group.
And so is a period for young players, meaning Lee and Robinson. There's no reason to think they won't do well, except for the fact that they're rookies, and rookies historically have a few games here and there where their heads are kind of spinning, and it would be nice to have an Ace Sanders that you know he knows what he's doing out there, that you can plug in for a game, for a few series here, and now without him, maybe you don't have that if that happens to one of the other guys. You know, again, that's maybe the pessimist, the guy who likes the security blanket in me saying that, but that's what you lose with Ace. Plus, he showed last year that he's got a little zip and a little pop on in certain situations that I'm sure Jed Fish was planning to take advantage of.
You would think so, but you know, with all these guys that they want to take advantage of, Denard Robinson, I mean, realistically to me, 51 receptions might have been the career high for Ace Sanders had he not been suspended.
Right.
And you hope that that's the case as you're building your wide receiver core, that you look at him, you say, man, he's more of a, if I can have him be more of a 30 reception guy,
sure.
and be my primary punt returner, which now Tanner Doss obviously stands to benefit the most. He was going to compete for that spot anyway, but now first in line, first opportunity to prove that he can handle those duties for the Jags this year.
Yeah, and he's a guy that, unless you've been watching YouTube clips of him around here, you really don't know too much about, and I'm exaggerating, obviously. He's played for the Ravens, but he wasn't on the field in the offseason is what I'm getting at. So fans who have been out there and even the media have been out there really haven't seen much of Tanner Doss, so you don't know what he brings yet. They certainly signed him with the idea that he would compete with Ace Sanders at the punt return spot and that he would work his way into that rotation at the receiver position. Now as training camp enters, obviously that's a much more urgent situation with Ace being out.
Busy day for you. By the way, happy belated birthday.
Well, thanks, Mike.
What was that, Monday? Was it Monday?
It was Monday, and then my son's was yesterday.
I timed it out perfectly, so I didn't have to get you anything. Tony, did you give him my the present that I left you to give to Osh?
Nope.
It's amazing how many people did that well.
Did you drink it?
Nope. It's still waiting on the shelf at home.
So today we've got Gus Bradley coming up less than 30 minutes away. We had a chance to sit down with him this morning. You'll hear that conversation coming up in less than a half an hour here on Jaguars Today. You've got Jaguars.com live at 12:30 with another more conversation with Gus Bradley. You saved the good stuff, I assume,
save
for Jaguars.com live.
Oh, sure. Oh,
and then whatever's left, you'll share with Frank Frangie later on this afternoon.
It's a busy day, and as I tweeted last night, there might be a thing as too much Osher, and we might be.
I don't think we've reached a saturation point. I mean, we haven't even started training camp yet, for goodness sakes. And you know, you hate to have anything negative. It's that period of the off season where you just hope you don't hear anything for about a month.
Right.
And Tony and I mentioned that briefly yesterday, but boy, seemed as smooth as things could be, and you didn't hear anything popping up. And then I guess you don't until it reaches ahead in a situation like this. And really, there's only so much the team can say in a situation due to privacy rules and all that. But we'll discuss with Gus Bradley the loss of Ace Sanders, at least in the short term, his roster status going forward, who stands to benefit, and a lot of other Jaguar issues of the like coming up. We'll also hear from Ace himself, some of the comments he made during his conference call, and we'll welcome it. We'll open it up and welcome your comments at 641-1010. Our Tom Bush Family of Dealerships fan feedback spotlight today. Ask you simply, without Ace Sanders, really not only the first month of the season, but training camp, it looks like he'll miss likely all of it, and the preseason you can kind of count as a wash for him. So he's going to be out of the football mix until week five. So when he comes back, he's unlikely to be ready to contribute right away in a significant manner. So how big of a loss is that for the Jags, not having Ace Sanders on the field, at least for the first month of the season? Feel free to tweet us at MD_1010XL, at John Osher, at 1010XL Fat Tony, at 1010XL Lauren as well. Metro Rooter brings you the show every Wednesday. You want to weigh in on training camp looming? A lot of practices open to you, the fans, including the one at Bartram Trail on Monday night. We'll talk about that a little bit later on with Gus Bradley as well. 641-1010, the phone number if you want to get into Ace Sanders or anything Jaguar-related. We got the senior writer from Jaguars.com, John Osher, here with us. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony with you. It's Jaguars Today on a Metro Rooter Wednesday here on 1010XL. 92.5 FM.
The Jaguars have a new radio home.
This is our house.
Yes, sir.
Our house. Let's get it rock and roll.
Our house.
Home of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Why shouldn't it be the Jaguars?
1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Tony, you got anything for me? Right
there. It's Coldplay.
And
he says,
"Well, this is Coldplay in my place, correct?"
That is correct. That's why I didn't give you the hint.
Somebody gonna put me in my place today.
Someone's gonna take Ace's place. What? I don't know.
Yeah, you're close enough. The letters ACE will be in all the songs.
Oh my!
Or the artists.
Wow.
Might throw in a little Ace of Base.
Oh, that's coming. That's on the playlist.
That's unbelievable.
You'll be
Michael
bobbing your head.
Sing along to the sign. I can see it right now.
That's that was a stretch, I thought.
Mike, I think we need to discuss Tony's bitterness. He's a bitter man this morning.
Tony's bitter?
Yeah. I'm bitter.
What's he bitter about?
He has some Wi-Fi bitterness issues.
He
right?
does have, well, he has issues with his local cable provider, which shall remain nameless in case they ever did do or may in the future advertise with 1010XL and all their subsidiaries.
There's a little cloud over there today. A little bitter cloud.
He's internet free at the house right
yesterday,
now. Yesterday,
look, yesterday it wasn't completely their fault. It was some idiot on the road that caused the problem that I had to deal with. And we've dealt with that over at the station before, where someone runs into a light pole and then all of a sudden you don't have cable or internet. And it's not really the company's fault. And I was ready to rage last night because I got home about 1:30 and didn't have cable or internet from 1:30 till about 10 o'clock last night. And I told my roommate, I was like, what's the number? I'm going to call these people. And he's like, it's not their fault this time. It's like someone ran into a pole. I was like, yeah? Well, how about on Sunday when I'm sitting there for 4 hours without internet? Or Saturday when I'm dealing with the same thing?
Did you light into them?
I called, and after listening to about 8 different automated messages and never getting a person on the phone, I was like, you know what? I'm done with this. I'm done.
And had you gotten that person on the phone, do you suspect they would have been in this country? Physically?
They might have been in this country, but I have seen the customer satisfaction reviews on every company in this country, and this particular cable company happens to fall at the bottom of the list pretty much every year with the way that they deal with their customers. So the odds are I would have gotten somebody on the phone who's very used to having people as angry as me yelling in their ear, and they would have it would have been in one ear and out the other.
It sounds like you're one of life's greatest signers of blame. I like that.
Oh, gosh.
I'm totally. It's never been my fault once. By the way, what are you doing over there? Are you getting a new studio for you? Your first time you're in the radio studio? You're thumping the microphone with your headset?
Sorry about that.
It's all good.
All right.
You know, that's Osher, ladies and gentlemen. He's here.
I'm all clumped up over here.
Tony's disgruntled. Jag fans, I don't know if they're disgruntled. I was on with Richard Miller last night on the Outstanding Richard Miller show here on 1010X and Miller on Sports. And he said, how big, you know, how will the fans react? What will I don't think they'll notice that Ace Sanders is not at training camp, to be honest with you. I mean, they'll know that he's not there. But I don't think it's going to dampen the enthusiasm. People are ready for football, and if this were Cecil Shorts, if this were Chad Henne, if this were Toby Gerhart, a guy that you're counting on to be a volume contributor on the offense this year, I think it'd be a different story.
Well, and it's never something you want, but NFL teams, I think they expect to deal with something like this. It's the reality.
Is this NFL version of spillage?
Yeah,
you're saying, to put it crassly.
Well, if you're an NFL team and you're not prepared to deal with something like this on some level, then you're probably going to have a lot of surprises in your life because these kind of things happen to a team. There's 60 guys. They're not all perfect, and you're going to have guys who make mistakes and have to come to you for help. And as we'll talk about with Gus, the Jaguars are very supportive of Ace Sanders in this situation. They want him to get better. They're concerned about him as a person. So you have to have some sort of mechanism to deal with this, and I think the Jaguars do. I think they're ready. And I think fans sort of get that it's not unexpected to have something. You don't want to be overrun by it. You hope you don't, but you have to deal with it when it happens.
Right, and you know, people were suggesting yesterday, cut him immediately.
Well, what's the point?
Right? Other than to make some kind of statement, but the only statement you would be making is you don't think he has as much long-term potential impact on the roster as Justin Blackmon, because, I mean, you've already, you know, the fact, once they let him do the conference call under the umbrella of the organization, you know, he's not going anywhere in the short term.
Well, and I think it's, you know, I was on Twitter last night a little bit and got some reaction of, well, you know, it's no big deal for him to do the conference call. It was a PR move. Anybody would do it. Well, I've been around the league a long time, and I've never seen a player that I recall do a conference call that quickly after it was in. He didn't have to do that, is my point. And he was willing to talk about it. I think if people heard his comments on audio, there was sincerity in his voice. And I get that fans have heard this sort of thing. Everybody who gets suspended says, I'm going to get help, say, you know, blah, 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 right? That's a lot of people's reaction to it. But there was some sincerity with Ace, and I give him credit for talking about it quickly, for being willing to, you know, to being willing to do that. And I don't know that every player in that situation would. I think he genuinely wants to get whatever's going on fixed, move on, and get back here and get back to helping this.
Talking to the media doesn't absolve him of making bad decisions.
No.
But what it does is it hopefully gives you a glimmer into, you know, his personality that, you know, maybe he'll be able to deal with this in a more mature way going forward. It's a mistake that's been made.
Sure.
Now what can you do to not compound that and to make that be a blip on the radar? And
right.
You hope that his attitude that he displays, the seeming maturity he displays in his comments, is indicative of that he will truly seek the proper help and
right.
Get beyond this and not have it become an ongoing thing.
I think it's a sign that he wants to handle things correctly. Now, again, I'm never one... In a situation, I'm never one to put blanket statements on, well, this guy has to do this, you have to do things a certain way, because we don't know the details of the situation when these things happen. But at first glance, he certainly seems sincere. I would be surprised if Ace Sanders doesn't come back at some point and contribute here.
Well, let's hear a little bit of what he had to say in that conference call yesterday. It's a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Jaguars Today, Mike Dempsey, John Osier, Fat Tony here with you. Gus Bradley coming up in about 12 minutes, so stick around for your head coach. His comments on the Ace Sanders situation and the team as they get ready to embark on their second training camp of the Gus Bradley regime. Here is Ace yesterday explaining exactly what happened.
I will not be doing the first part of training camp, or at least maybe a majority of the training camp. I have some personal issues that I am dealing with, trying to get everything straightened out. It's been really tough. Been a really, really tough road for me these past couple months, and I've just been dealing with a lot of stuff, just with life and with family and with a lot of issues going on. So I will probably be facing a 4-game suspension as well. So I just really would rather everybody hear that from me first before hearing it from anybody else, you know, just so I can kind of just get everything out there in the open and let people know that I am taking full responsibility for all of my actions, everything that I did. And I just really wanted to, you know, just let the fan base know, let my family know, let Mr. Shad Khan and Dave Caldwell, Coach Gus, and all my teammates know that, you know, I am truly sorry for what has happened. But, you know, sometimes, you know, life hits and it hits hard. So I made some mistakes that I do regret. I could have handled situations a little differently. I'm still just dealing with it. Just trying to get through it, just trying to be a better person and a better teammate for everybody and everybody that's around me. I decided to go seek that help, get that attention that I need. Hopefully somebody can help me out. I should be okay. I should be fine. And this is my sole focus, just to get better and just come back and just be ready to play.
You know, I'm not to play amateur psychologist, but we do it all the time. The difference between what you hear there and what you heard from Justin Blackman, mm-hmm. indicating he didn't feel like he had any kind of problem. Ace Sanders, to whatever degree,
right.
The fact that he needs help is... him saying, I don't know if he used the word, I have a problem, or those exact words, but that's indicative of he realizes this is something he needs to get corrected.
Yeah, and I'm always hesitant, as you said, to play amateur psychologist, because there's a limit to the amount of information we know, and we can assume things, we can place our own past experiences of seeing guys deal with things, and then want to place them on this guy. Ace Sanders is his own person, and will handle this, you know, whether or not he makes it back from this is not dependent on anything that's happened in the past, any other player. It's dependent on Ace. So you hate to sort of take all of your experience with other athletes and say, well, Ace can't do this because I've never seen this or X or Y. But, again, he certainly seemed in his voice like he was a guy who was maybe startled by what had happened, was sort of looking at things and saying, okay, I've got to get whatever's going on right, and I've got to change this and get back to what I want to be doing. So, again, I'm not going to sit there and say I know what's going to happen in Ace Sanders' future, but it seemed from listening to him that he's got a shot to come back from this.
Ace also talked yesterday about meeting with Gus and Dave Caldwell to discuss the matter.
When I actually sat down and I talked to the coach and I talked to Dave, they just really had my best interest. They were just really supportive of everything just because they've been with me every step of the way. They know everything that's going on with me. And it just really showed me how much they care, you know, as an organization and just as people.
And I think you'll hear that in what Gus Bradley has to say in the way they could have handled this. Mm-hmm. He certainly was eligible to come participate in training camp, the preseason, and, you know, without spoiling too much, I think, you know, Gus says, hey, look, we could have gone that route. Said, mm-hmm. Let's see what you got. Let's evaluate the roster at that point. And that seemingly a sign that he has a role with this team going forward. They know he has a role with this team. So rather than put him in a situation where he's got all this stuff swirling, just go ahead and get your head right. And when you come back, then deal with football at that point in time. It's easy to say, though, I think, if you feel like if you're in a Sanders spot, if you feel like you're going to have a role, you had 51 receptions as a rookie, you think your roster spot will be there for you. If you're a fringe guy,
sure.
You know, are you going this right? If you're a fringe guy, are you maybe not even on this roster today? That's just the reality of life in professional sports.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was Jimmy Johnson who famously said a long time ago, yeah, I treat players differently. Some guys deserve certain treatment, some guys don't. You know, Ace is a guy who, he's not Cecil Shorts in terms of roster stability. He's not a guy where you look at him and go, we have to have him here and here and here. We know what to get. Ace, but he's also not a fringe guy. So,
despite Ryan O'Halloran's best efforts.
Well, you know, I don't think he's as solid as maybe some fans thought last year.
Sure.
51 catches, because you have tried to improve the position around him and get better and ensure that Ace isn't as safe. That was some of the moves they made. Was to, not specifically to insure against Ace, but to improve that position, make it tougher to make the roster. There is that situation now, but there's still five or six spots, and if everything's healthy, if everybody's out there, then it stands to reason that Ace is one of the best five or six, one of the guys who has a chance to be the most productive out of the five or six receivers. So there's also a put the money where the mouth is element. Gus Bradley is a guy who is very much of his reputation is about his relationship with these players. Much of who he's about is his relationship with these players. It would be surprising if he got into a situation where he went in with a guy he had a relationship with, Ace Sanders, who he's known for a year, and he started laying down the law of, you have to be in camp, you have to do this. Gus is going to go in and say, we need to figure out what's best for you first, and then figure out what's best for the team. So it's not surprising that it would be handled this way by Gus and Dave Caldwell, is what I'm getting at.
And speaking of relationships with players, Ace talked about the support that he has received from his teammates since he got this news.
That room is just like, it's just like a brotherhood, man. I mean, they rallied behind me, told me, man, just, we're sending the prayers at you. You just do what you have to do to get back. We'll be waiting for you, you know, when you get back, we'll just play ball like we've been playing. So it just made me feel loved, just made me feel good inside to know that they still have my best interest.
I'm such a cynic. I mean, because to me, I'm thinking, yeah, there's a guy right now who's like seventh on that depth chart,
sure.
Right? Who's thinking, yeah, go take all the time you need. You know what I mean? That's me projecting probably how I would feel in that circumstance. I'm just being honest with you.
Sure.
But it's all great. Hey, it's all love. But at the end of the day, there's only so many spots, and it's a game of musical chairs based on your ability, and you want one of those seats.
Yeah, and missing extensive time during camp, missing preseason time is not ideal, and it's you know, will it help Ace's cause to make the roster? No. If he does this again, is it a different ramification? Sure. But as of right now, you would be surprised if there is not a spot for Ace Sanders to be on the team and contribute when he gets back. I saw Hayes and Ryan from the TU were saying this may be a lost year for Ace. There's a potential of that, but I don't think you can write off yet the possibility that Ace could contribute the last 10 games of this season. He has quickness, and there are things he can do with his quickness that are important enough to Jed Fish in this offense that it may not be the role that he was going to have, but I don't know that it's necessarily a lost season for
him. Yeah, I just don't see why. That's a long stretch. It's 13 weeks, 12 games.
Yeah.
You know, he'll have to get up to speed like we talked about. But
yeah,
you know,
not every receiver is going to stay healthy the entire season. There's different roles. There's different opportunity. I'd be surprised if there's not an opportunity for Ace to show that he can contribute this year in those last 10, 11 games.
More on this momentarily. It's a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Metro Rooter for all size plumbing jobs, residential, commercial, industrial. They handle septic systems, restaurant, grease trap service, you name it, that has to do with plumbing. Metro Rooter, the call you need to make, 695-1911. Same day service, weekends included. The right people with the right equipment serving Jacksonville since 1978. Our Wednesday sponsor, Metro Rooter. Next on Jaguars Today, head coach Gus Bradley joins us in the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios. Mike Dempsey, John Osier. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Jaguars Today continuing. Mike Dempsey, John Osier here with you, and we're sitting down with Gus Bradley, head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars. How are you, coach?
I'm doing great. We're getting close, huh? Every day we get a little bit closer. So
be hitting soon. Be out on that field soon, and then the real stuff will start. Obviously, you know, it's funny. We were just talking yesterday. Quiet off season for you in a good way. You know, you hate stories that pop up. We had the Ace Sanders situation that came up yesterday. What are you at liberty to tell us about Ace's situation?
Well, you know what? Some things were bound by the league. We can't discuss, but I think it's basically what Ace talked about yesterday. You know, that he has some issues that he wants to get cleaned up and that he's going to seek help. He talked about a suspension coming his way, and you know, that's what we know. Obviously, Ace and I have had long conversations, and you know, it's unfortunate. It really is unfortunate for the team and for Ace at this time. But a lot of positives too. I mean, here's a young man who's facing it head on, understands his situations, and has a lot of trust in the organization and has dealt with it that way. And for that part, we're excited.
You're about competition, and obviously you had a lot of injuries at wide receiver throughout the course of the summer. Going into this situation, it looks like he may be gone for training camp first month of the season. Is his roster spot secure when he comes back in week five? Does Ace Sanders have a place on this football
team?
Well,
that's, you know, Dave and I talked to him about that. We said, hey, you know what? There's different ways you can look at it. We could have said, well, let's practice here for the next 4 weeks and then see where you're at. And then if you still feel that way, you know, maybe go get some treatment. But that's not the, if we're talking about trust and doing what's right for the player, that's just not right. And so we talked to Ace and said, hey, let's get this right. Let's go in and get the help that you need. And then when you come back, we'll be waiting with open arms for you, you know, and give him a spot, a chance to compete. And so he knows that when he comes back. That's been our conversation with him.
As NFL coach, Gus, you've certainly been through not this situation, but similar situations with players where they come to you with off-field issues. And I know as a coach, you really value your relationship with guys, and it's important to you. When Ace comes to you and you're talking to him, what are you looking for to give you that confidence that you can work with this guy, that it's sincere? What are you looking for in the conversation?
Well, I think within any organization, two really fundamental core principles are trust and communication. Mm-hmm. And I know those are things that we don't take lightly, and we talk to our guys about. And sometimes it's hard to develop trust. It takes a period of time. But I think what Ace's situation displays is that there was tremendous trust and the ability to communicate. Two principles we believe in, and he did. And it wasn't a situation where this has been going on and, you know, it was a situation where, okay, we got to convince Ace now. He just was open to listening. We talked about it and said, this is what's best. And so I think that's, you know, in the years that I've been in the NFL and learning different situations, those two principles are critical.
You've got rookie receivers that you're probably going to count on to play a large role anyway this year just based on the depth chart. But now Marquise Lee and Allen Robinson, maybe a little bit more pressure on them to perform early. Or are they going to be up to it?
Well, I think, you know, one thing going into it, we felt like obviously that wide receiver spot, it is a very competitive situation. And we feel good about the competition that will take place within there. I mean, you got guys like Tandon Doss who led the league in punt mm-hmm. returns and, you know, a bigger, stronger physical type receiver. We want to take a good look at Kerry, you know, see the development he makes. Mike Brown, you know, healthy, and then a couple of rookies and Hearns, and so it's kind of an intriguing training camp that we've got some talented guys that we really see, you know, how they develop. And You know, obviously the two rookies that we drafted, we took them there for a reason. We feel like they're talented, but it's a process and they got to put it all together. And so we don't just put those two guys out and say, okay, let's take advantage of this opportunity. It's really this whole group now. There's a tremendous opportunity, but stay the course, be the best you can be, and let's see where it takes us.
You had a chance to get away for a short time. There's no long off time in the off season in the
right.
FN anymore. What's different as you walked back in the door from vacation this year? How did you feel different than you did this time last year? What
well,
was your thoughts
I,
on it?
You know, I mean, last year we had some special players, special mindsets. I mean, a new head coach, really transforming the culture, mm-hmm. and guys that put their heart and soul into it. And you're always appreciative of that. This year, a different dynamic. Really good guys, really guys that believe in the culture, some talented. I think, you know, you break it up and you can be inexperienced and slow. You can be experienced and slow. You can be, you know, inexperienced and fast. Obviously, the ideal is to be experienced and fast. Well, we're a younger team, and we believe we're faster than we were. But we have, what, four guys over the age of 30. So we have some inexperience. And I think you've heard me talk to OTAs about this race to maturity.
Mm-hmm.
Our objective is to get these guys that are faster. Now, that race is to get them to play as an experienced group, so that in the, you know, in this process we become a fast, experienced group. And the changes you talk about, you always want to look and say, how do we touch the players this year? You know, one year it was the locker room, next year training room, weight room. And this year, well, the stadium, anybody looked outside and seen the jumbotrons, and, you know, so we're doing things that touch the players, and to create a home field advantage like anywhere, that's kind of cool for our fans.
Gus, you don't get touched by those video boards, there's something wrong with you, right?
They're immense, and they'll go on display in full view this weekend at the Carrie Underwood concert, and of course, the Jags in the preseason will unveil them with the first sporting event being Jaguar football. Gus Bradley, our guest on Jaguars Today. Chad Henne, a very pivotal piece of your offseason to bring him back. And clearly, we all understand what you've been talking about. He's established as the guy going in a perfect world for the Jaguars this year. Would Chad Henne end up starting 16 games?
Well, yeah. I mean, that means we're doing pretty good at that spot. And, you know, Chad's unique. He's a guy that, you know, I think is experienced and going through last year, learning a new offense and things like that. You know, maybe he wasn't performing as fast as, you know, what we're all looking for in a quarterback. Well, this year it feels different. I think he understands what Jed's asking, what the offense is asking, what our culture's all about. And we feel a sense of a guy that's playing fast and experienced. And it goes back to that. We feel like, okay, you know, and it was nothing to his doing. It's just sometimes it takes time to, you know, to understand everything. And he's done a really good job. So really excited to see the progress he makes during training camp.
There's so many questions about the roster, but there's a theory with the offensive line, for example, that even if you've got a lot of talent there, it takes time to come together. I'll ask you about defense. That's your area coming in here. Is that true of the defensive line as well, or can that group, because there's so many new guys, can new guys come together quicker on that side of
yeah,
the ball?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think probably perception-wise, you would say, yeah, the defensive line, I think, and they can come a little bit faster. Mm-hmm. There's so much communication that takes place on an offensive line, where there are some on defense, but really, you know, they have really one objective. And, you know, so I think that's pretty accurate. You know, I think where it's going to take some time is the linebackers to play behind the defensive line to get a feel for how they're going to play certain blocks and what they can count on. You know, those things will take a little bit of time. But, you know, as a position group itself, I would say there's probably a little bit more on an offensive lineman.
On paper, is the defensive line the front four? Is that as good a group, certainly as you have on defense? I mean, where does that rank among the strengths of this football team on paper?
Well, you know, I think it's, you know, we're better. We're better. Just, you know, then there's some guys that we've got to see how they respond, but some younger guys. But, you know, we do know about Red and what he brings, and Chris Clemens, what he brings as new guys. And then Ziggy, you know, we're getting a better feel for what he's going to bring. And I think this training camp will be big for him, because there's something about playing on the edge during no pads, you know, and OTAs. But when you put the pads on, I think we'll really get a stronger feel for what he's all about and brings. So I think we've got better depth there. And, you know, we're faster.
Yeah, you talked about Branch a lot this summer as well.
Right.
Seemed like he was one of the guys that consistently stood out to you, at least in your
comments? Wow, he is. You know, probably one of the first guys you should mention because the progress he made, very pleased with it. Now the challenge for him is to continue that progress. And, you know, we're in this race to maturity. And one thing I talk to our coaches about, and I will talk to our players about, is the ability to be challenged. We are going to challenge them, and they need to challenge themselves to be the best that they can be. And that's hard. Sometimes there's going to be some tough days, but that's how growth takes place.
I think if there's one guy that I get questions about all the time that I think fans have trouble getting their minds around because they've had Fred Taylor and Maurice Jones-Drew the position for so long, Gerhardt. What do you expect from him? Tell fans, I guess, what you liked about this guy to sort of give the running game over to him. I know it's not how you're looking at it as giving it to him, but what do you like about this
guy?
Well,
first of all, when we watched him on tape, he was very productive in the limited amount of carries that he had. Tremendous as a third down back. So, you know, those things are all check marks in his corner. His maturity, his experience, all that he brings to the table, he's helped that running back group get better just by his presence. You know, and we'll see what he can take on and what he can handle. Obviously, we're looking at a guy that you feel like the more he touches the ball, the stronger he gets, you know. But we've also going to involve other guys, Jordan Todman, Denard Robinson, Storm, you know, all those guys. We've always had the philosophy, I say always, the last year or so, that we're going to try to put guys in position that utilize their strengths. So, you know, obviously Toby's a guy we feel strongly about, but other guys will have roles as well.
A lot of training camp will be open to the public, including Monday night, Bartram Trail. You can go to jaguars.com/RSVP, and we encourage you. You have to do that if you want to get in. There is limited space, but it is free and open to the public. What are you most looking forward to just in terms of the atmosphere, getting back out there and kind of re-sparking that energy that you had all summer long?
Well, I think it's twofold. One, obviously, we're continuing with this race and you know, a lot of things inside of practice that we're trying to get accomplished. And then on the outside, the connect with the following that we talk so much about in the off season, that continues. And to go to a Bartram Trail and to open up all of our practices, I think we're extending the number of training camp practices that are open this year. So I think it's so important because we understand not everybody can go to a game, but we want everybody to be a part of this journey that we're on. And that's what's been great through this whole journey.
Now, I've been around coaches who, when they talk about opening things to the fans, you feel like maybe there's some lip service there. But you really like having the fans there, and you think those open practices and that connection is a big benefit to what you're doing, correct?
We really do. I just, you know, I think being here for a year, this community, our fans, they deserve success. They really do. I mean, they are passionate, and they're strong, and they trust, and they believe. And, you know, we generally appreciate that. So I think to be able to give back, I mean, they're giving us so much, and they're sticking with us, and they understand it. And for us to give just a little bit back, for especially those that maybe can't come to a game, to open the doors to them, anytime we have an opportunity to do that, we're going to do that.
Yeah, by the way, I saw a story. The Bills are using music in practice now, and they said, much like Seattle, I said, hey, what about much like Gus in Jacksonville? And I know the players really, I mean, it seems like that's something that they respond to. Whether it's an important focus or not, it seems like it's something they enjoy.
Well, I think, you know, there's one thing to playing music at practice, and I think we've told our players this. We don't play music just to play music. There's an intent to it. I mean, we get down to the beats per minute and what we're looking for. And to us, practice is everything, and we're going to compete in everything we do to make sure that our practice is at the highest level. So we have a reason for it. And it's not just music to feel good. There's a specific purpose. So that's good. Some teams will take it on, and that's great.
Gus Bradley here. Let's look forward to catching up with you throughout the next few weeks as you get ready for the season. See you out on the field this Friday. It's finally here, Gus.
Oh, I know. We're excited, too. What a great time of the year.
Appreciate your time. Thanks for spending a few minutes with us.
Thank you.
Gus Bradley, head coach of the Jaguars here on Jaguars Today. Mike Dempsey, John Osher, back with more on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
I'm Lauren Brooks, your 1010XL 92.5 FM, Mohican Orthopedic Local Sports Update. Jags wide receiver Ace Sanders delivered surprising news yesterday, announcing that he's facing a 4-game suspension from the NFL. Here's head coach Gus Bradley on the positive aspect of how the second-year receiver has handled the situation.
Wow, a lot of positives, too. I mean, here's a young man who's facing it head-on. understands his situations, and has a lot of trust in the organization and has dealt with it that way. And for that part, we're excited.
Sanders may miss most of training camp and has been placed on the non-football injury/illness list. Along with Sanders, the Jags placed cornerback Alan Ball suffering from an ankle injury and linebacker Dakota Watson with a groin injury on the physically unable to perform list. Rookie cornerback Aaron Colvin, who is recovering from an ACL injury in the Senior Bowl earlier this year, was designated on the non-football injury list. This Saturday, beginning at 6 o'clock, 1010 XL and 92.5 FM will have the Friendly for You, featuring Fulham and DC United. The world's largest video boards at Everbank Field will be unveiled at the mega event, which also features a country concert by Carrie Underwood. Also, right here on the Superstation, the Gus Bradley Show debuts this Thursday at 6 o'clock. I'm Lauren Brooks with your 1010 XL 92.5 FM, Heekin Orthopedic Local Sports Update. More Jaguars Today with Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, and John Osier comes your way next on your home for the Jaguars, 1010 XL 92.5 FM.
Now, Jaguars Today on 1010 XL 92.5 FM. And now, this date in football history.
Often imitated. Never duplicated. It's this date in football history. It's brought to you by Dr. James McColl's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. Did you know, gentlemen, that on this date in 1976 was the 42nd and final Chicago All-Star Game, which pitted the reigning NFL champion, or in this case, Super Bowl champion, for a while there, the AFC champion would play in it as well, such as when the Jets won. They weren't officially in the NFL. Against a group of college seniors who were the college all-stars who were already drafted
right.
to play in the NFL.
Can you imagine that now?
Can you imagine that even being suggested as a possibility now? Hey, let's throw all our draft picks in there. Let's play an exhibition game that benefits us directly in no right. way, shape, or form.
Well, it was funny. It started in a much earlier time. When the NFL needed publicity and you needed to kick off the season and more people, it originally benefited the NFL.
When college football was bigger.
Right, because
than the NFL.
Stars of college football playing against NFL teams sort of legitimized the NFL, sort of went in reverse. And then by the end, I get questions in the Ozone a lot about the, you know, could an NFL team ever lose to a college team and all that. And people want to use the college All-Star game as an example because the college All-Stars actually won a few of those games in the early years. But the point that you, when you look at how that series went, by the end, when the NFL really got going and when it became a sport of men who were completely focused on the league all the time and getting stronger and better, finally, by the end, it wasn't competitive. And that's one reason they stopped it. That last game was shortened by rain. It's a big story. It got shortened, I think, with a minute to go in the third quarter. It was just a deluge of rain. And if you read the stories about it, it was just chaos. People were all over the field. People had lost interest in the game, essentially. But the Steelers dominated that game, and the league finally just said, look, this isn't a – there's nothing positive about this game anymore. And it certainly would have gotten cut off very soon after that because can you imagine a coach, can you imagine a Coughlin or a Bill Belichick giving up a player for a couple of weeks who might get hurt, who aren't in the playbook? Can you imagine trying to suggest that now?
Right, and I can imagine here you had the Pittsburgh Steelers as the reigning Super Bowl champs playing a college All-Star team. Imagine in today's NFL if the quarterback of that All-Star team was the first-round pick of the Ravens, right?
Right.
Any extra incentive to maybe
sure.
go out there and nail that guy. And it's not like they were a college team competing. It's, they were the best college seniors
right.
at a time when most guys stayed in school for
right.
the entirety of the all 4 years. Here are the first four scores. It started in 1934. The first one was a riveting scoreless tie
Boom.
Between the All-Stars and the Bears, attended by 79,000-plus in that game. Then the next year, the Chicago Bears back in it 5-0. They were victorious over the All-Stars.
Is that a field goal?
Back then, when Tony and I were looking at this a few weeks ago, field goals used to be worth 5. Mm-hmm. Touchdowns were worth 4 at some point in NFL lore.
Scobie thinks it still be that way.
It should be, absolutely. In 1936, it was another riveting 7-7 tie with 76,000. And then, despite that, attendance continued to grow. 84,500 saw the college All-Stars win their first in the series in 1937, 6-0. Over the Green Bay Packers, and they played that game on September 1st. I'm guessing that's like a week before the season. What is, I mean, you know, how many games out of 42 games, there were two ties. Taking out the two ties, how many games do you think the All-Stars won against the reigning NFL champ?
I want to say it was 7 or 8.
Tony, what do you got?
I was going to say 7, so I'll say 10.
10 okay. is correct. 10 and 30 is what they went, and they last won in 1963. So not that, well, you know, it
right.
wasn't
they
the
lost,
dark
I
ages.
Think, 16 of the last 17. I mean,
they lost the last, it looks like 10, 12 in a row.
Right.
So there you go, with the one in 1974 canceled due to the NFL strike. Back in the day. So there you have it. All the MVPs were always selected, by the way, from the college side, included such luminaries as Larry Zonka, Ray Guy, you had John Brody in there, and Elroy Crazy Legs Hirsch.
Well, I can remember watching when I was a kid. I don't know if you remember watching.
I do not. I'm not as nearly as old as you.
I remember watching a couple of times, then would get, you know, and it's just, it does show you how different this league was at one time and how different American sports were. Back when this game started, so much was about, like, barnstorming tours, and it was big events that somebody would sponsor and have one event that you touted in the newspapers, and you sold it out, and you made a lot of money off of. It was just a different time in American sports, and you'll never go back to seeing something like that, obviously. And, again, it does make you laugh to think what would happen if you were sort of a promoter and approached the league about this idea. Hey, I got this great idea.
Hey, right.
We're going to take the college All-Stars, the best draft picks, and I pit him against a professional team, risk injury. It goes against everything that important football people think is important now in the NFL.
Except if you put a billion-dollar price tag.
Sure.
Oh, we're going to make how much?
Right.
Okay. We'll take 1/30 second of that
around and goes, I got this great idea.
Yes. Have you guys ever thought about doing this? That would be fantastic. Yeah. That happened on this date in football history, the final Chicago All-Star game, called as such because that's where they played it. This date in football history brought to you by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. They're located on Gate Parkway here. And whether you're in the mood or in the need of a family dentist, there's some cosmetic work being done. They're a certified Invisalign provider. They've got the Stop Snoring Mouth Guards, which are a big hit. 620-9225 or visit jamesjmccall.com for a complete list of comprehensive care services. John, we're discussing with Gus Bradley a few minutes ago. If you missed that interview will be available at 1010XL.com to listen back. Also, hope you're checking out the podcasts of the show on a daily basis that are archived at Jaguars.com in their media section. And a reminder, as we spoke with Gus about it, a lot of practice open to the fans, but really expecting a big turnout at Bartram Trail on Monday night. But if you're planning on attending, Jaguars.com/RSVP. You do have to have a ticket. Tickets are free, but you have to print one out. They're trying to, they have a limited capacity. So if you want to ensure yourself access to that practice, go to Jaguars.com/RSVP to print out your free ticket. In the question I asked Gus, said when Ace Sanders returns in week 5, mm-hmm. presuming he misses the entire preseason or maybe he's here for a little bit, it doesn't really matter. Does he have a roster spot secured? Gus said, we'll welcome him back. You know, he'll compete. You and I both agree. Gus's mantra is always about competition.
Right.
It's not like he's going to come back in our mind in week 5 and have a 1 week competition for a roster spot.
No.
He will be a member of the 53-man roster when he returns.
Well, again, if you've listened to Gus over the last 16, 17 months since he's been here, even when they signed, say, a Toby Gerhart, when he it clearly they're signing
right.
Toby Gerhart to be the starter. I mean, that's a given. But I remember when Gus broke off to the side after that initial Toby Gerhart press conference, he just couldn't bring himself to say, yeah, Toby Gerhart's our starter. He's the guy. I mean, and he did, but he kind of laughs about it because I just can't really say that. So he's going to say that about Ace. It's pretty clear they expect Ace Sanders to have a roster spot and a role when he comes back. Now, as we discussed over the break, is it a situation where when he comes back, he perhaps is not active the first couple of games, as you get up to speed, as you get back on the field, get back used to practicing, that could certainly be possible. But I don't think it's a case where he's coming back and all of a sudden he's competing against X receiver to see if he's going to be on the roster or not. I don't think that's what it is.
I agree with you. And you would expect that he's not going to be active immediately when he comes back, because especially if he does miss all of training camp, all the preseason. I mean, you'll be away from football activity
sure.
at a time when everybody else is playing for, 2.5 months, basically, at that point in time. 641-1010, if you'd like to weigh in on that. Otherwise, I mean, nothing from Gus that you didn't really expect. He's upbeat.
Really? Was he?
He's always upbeat. He's Gus, I guess I could say. But Chad Henne, the way I phrased it was, is it the best, I think, for the Jags? Is the best case scenario for him to start all 16 games? He said, yeah, that means he's playing well. Mm-hmm. You could argue the best case scenario is that Blake Bortles shows you so much in the opportunities that you give him that he forces his way into this conversation and that they can still continue to have success. But I think it's very clear, and they've made it very clear, and I think here locally people have picked up on it, but nationally mm-hmm. they've started to accept that it's not lip service. They really have this plan in place, and this is the year of Chad Henne as the quarterback. Doesn't mean he's guaranteed to start 16
sure.
games.
Well, I think on the opportunities that we saw that we can report on during the off season,
and portions of practice,
and the part that the fans saw. I mean, the part that we saw was indicative that Chad Henne is a better prepared quarterback right now to start the season and to start games this year than Blake Bortles is. That's not a knock on what Blake Bortles will become. It's merely a reflection of what they knew when they drafted him, what they said for 4 or 5 months leading to the draft, that they didn't think there was going to be a rookie quarterback, even the best rookie quarterback, which they clearly thought Blake Bortles was, who was ready to come in and be an improvement over an NFL quarterback, which Chad Henne is. So sometimes when you write that, it's perceived as being sort of a knock on where Blake is, and are they disappointed? This was what they expected. And Chad Henne, I thought during OTAs, during the mini camps, looked like a quarterback who was ready to start in the National Football League. I don't think Blake does yet, and I don't think that's unexpected. So there will be people come into town who want to write about Blake pushing Chad. I don't expect it to happen. Is there a scenario throughout the course of a season where that changes, where they decide, okay, this is what our record is, this is where we are, now it's time to give Blake a shot? Sure, that scenario exists. But if Chad plays well, if they're competitive, if this becomes a normal NFL season where they're, you know, where you're winning some games, then I don't think they make a change this year.
Yeah, and you know what? Dave Caldwell said as much. We asked him directly, if the Jags are winning games and you feel like Bortles is ready to play, will you put him in? No. If we're winning, we're not going to do anything to upset. I mean, there's this notion that this year is a write-off.
Right.
And maybe in the big picture, when you look back, to some degree it will be, but I don't think you can, as a coach, sell that, you know, to your players. You don't sign Toby Gerhart to come in here and say, hey, waste the next year of your career.
Right.
Realistically, you're not a 12-win team, but going into it, there are surprise teams every year, and I think their main focus is until they reach a point where clearly it's not going to happen for them this year. It's just to win enough games to stay in playoff contention as long as possible.
Well, I think it was Ryan O who said, you know, decisions certainly change once the season gets going, once the pads go on, once injuries happen, once the records become real. Then you make your decision as you go. But and that could entail week 8, week 12, whatever, them saying, okay, here's where we are now. Here's a decision we're going to make. Here's what we're going to do going forward. Is there a good chance that'll happen? Yeah, I think there's a decent chance that Blake will play this year. But right now, that's not what you plan on going to the season, because you don't plan to be out of the playoff race. That's not how you set up your season. So as of right now, I think they go with Chad Henne. And there's no reason not to, because anybody who has seen them so far would definitely tell you that right now Chad is certainly the more ready quarterback.
Sure.
And that's expected. Again, that's expected.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, but at some point, and I think it's normal, and I think it's logical. As a fan, you say, hey, this guy really is the third overall pick. He needs to probably by, you know, if this team is struggling in the win-loss column particularly.
Right.
And if this, for instance, if this team is 2-10, and let's hope they're not, but if they're 2-10 and Blake isn't ready to play at that point, I think that's a legitimate red flag. You know, you're three quarters of the way into the season, and if you don't feel good enough, and who knows? I mean, let's hope they're not 2-10, and who's to say he won't be ready much earlier than that? But that would be something I think that would be concerning. To me,
it's a tricky spot for guys like us, Mike, because so much of what we're talking about is going to play out in real time over the next 3 months, right? You know, right now you look at Blake in practice and you see things where you're like, maybe not quite ready yet. And yeah, I see what they were saying, that this is going to take some time. There's a couple things he's got to work through development-wise. Well, that could change. When does that click? Is that in 6 weeks? Is that in 8 weeks? Is it, and it's not our job to make those decisions, obviously. It's going to be Gus Bradley and Dave Caldwell's job to say, you know what? Here it is. He's ready. Now's the time.
John Osier, the senior writer from Jaguars.com, here with me, Mike Dempsey. It's Jaguars Today on a Metro Rooter Wednesday. We'll take a look at John's recent posting on Jaguars.com, road to the 2014 training camp. Five free agents to keep your eye on. Open for phone calls as well at 641-1010. We'll get to those next. Jaguars Today live at the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios from Everbank Field on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Jaguars Today on a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Mike Dempsey, John Osier, Fat Tony here with you. Lauren Brooks back in the 1010XL World Headquarters tonight, the featured player on the 1010 at 10 on CW17. So look for the lovely and talented Lauren Brooks.
Thank you, as always, for the compliment.
Hey, well, that's always how I describe Osh as well.
It's a big night for Lauren, huh?
Lovely and talented.
Big debut?
It's not a debut.
All right.
Come
thanks
on,
for
ha-
thanks for having Lauren. Watched all the other ones, Johnny O.
Come on, Johnny O.
Oh, did I say debut?
You did.
Oh, did I?
What?
Did I say
what I meant
premiere?
To say was?
Yet another.
Yet another.
Outstanding, soon-to-be award-winning appearance.
And I thought you were my mentor in television, John.
Yeah.
We had long conversations about it.
John?
Life's full of disappointment.
Care to comment? All right. 641-1010. Let's hope Brandon is not a disappointment. We go to the phone lines, and Brandon's first up. Brandon, how are you this morning?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good. What's up?
Just not a question. I mean, I'm not a head football coach, but maybe you guys can clarify for me. You know, I just don't understand the whole thing. You know, you put this guy behind somebody to quote marinate, you know. And, you know, I don't understand, how do you learn more with a clipboard in your hand than you do on the field? I mean, for example, I'm sure, John, you went to college to be a writer, but, you know, you can't actually learn how to be a writer sitting behind a desk. You have to go out there and do it. You have to make contact, you know. When you're a quarterback, you got to roll out to the right, throw across your body and get it picked off and then go watch film and learn why that was stupid. You know what I mean? I just don't understand how somebody can learn more sitting on the bench than they can out there doing it. I'll take the time to say that.
All right. I think plenty of players have
actually
said when they've been injured, including Aaron Rodgers, as recently as last year, that you get a different perspective. I'm not saying it's always the best perspective. You don't want an Aaron Rodgers or a Peyton Manning to get hurt when they've proven they can play at a high level. But, maybe you have to go out in the field and earn your stripes writing stories. Doesn't mean they're going to put you on the byline the next day either, you know, unless you're ready for it. I do think you can improve if there are mechanical issues, footwork issues. You can certainly point to cases where guys have gone in feeling unprepared and gotten overwhelmed by the speed, the moment, everything, and it has set their careers back.
Well, first of all, I didn't start off at the newspaper covering the University of Florida. I started off at the newspaper covering the third high school game and worked my way toward that as I, in theory, got better. Who knows if I really got better, but as in theory, as I got more prepared for it. So it's tougher to do that in the NFL, especially a quarterback, right, because you only have one quarterback. If you have receivers, you can start a guy at the fifth receiver, the fourth receiver. He can work his way up. You have to manage the quarterback position a little differently because it's harder to put a guy in and have him get his lumps for four or five plays and pull him out. You're either not there or you're the guy. I think the thing that you said, especially in Blake Bortles' case, because it's hard everybody wants to say you should play a quarterback at this time, and anyone have a formula for it. What the Jaguars are trying to do is not worry about a formula for every quarterback in the league. They're trying to worry about a formula for Blake Bortles. And he has said there are fundamentals, as you mentioned. There are some footwork things he needs to work out before he gets in the field and can be and I can be effective. So it's not a case where he can never have that situation where he's throwing in. He's going to have some point where he goes in and has a learning curve. I think there is a thought that he's probably not ready for that yet. That's that time where he is ready for it is going to come relatively soon. It's not going to be 5 years. Caldwell's been pretty clear that it's fairly safe to say the latest he's going to start is beginning of next season. So at some point in the next year, they're going to determine he's ready. They just don't want to have it be too fast. You're not going to have a situation where it's 2 years holding a clipboard like Aaron Rodgers did, and they expect him to come in and be a Pro Bowl player immediately. At some point, perhaps at the end of this season, certainly by the beginning of next, you'd expect to see this guy on the field.
Yeah, and with Aaron Rodgers, I was more just even pointing to the few games he missed last year. Sometimes you take
right.
that step back and you watch it from a different angle and
right.
you see, oh, something you might miss in the heat of the battle. He's not a great example of the way you bring up a quarterback because of the unique situation being behind one of the all-time greats in Brett Favre. But, I mean, both sides of the defense. They threw Peyton Manning in. Yes, he threw a bunch of interceptions,
right.
but clearly he showed he had the stuff. But he's gone on to prove he was one of the greatest of all time. He's probably more prepared
right.
for it than most. Colin Kaepernick, year and a half on the sidelines. Now
right.
he appears to be an up-and-coming star in the National
mm-hmm.
Football League. So clearly there have been multiple ways
also
to do it.
So many different dynamics in each situation. It's not always the same. It's not always a case. You know, Caldwell's of the belief, and rightly or wrongly, that it's a lot more rare to have a guy who's ready. And if you look back over the last 5 or 10 years, yes, there are situations where guys are ready. Clearly, Andrew Luck was ready. Matt Ryan was pretty good as a rookie. Griffin was pretty good as a rookie. Other than that, not that many cases. Russell Wilson on a very good team, remember?
No, right. And look, they managed Russell Wilson, how much offense they allowed him to run.
Right.
They did really the same with
RG3. Right. And they didn't force-feed Russell Wilson to be the starter day one in training camp, if you remember.
Of course not.
A situation where he came in as a third-round guy and sort of had to organically, it became obvious over time without the what Gus calls the pressure of expectation that he was going to start immediately. All of a sudden he proved it, and it became obvious, and everybody was comfortable with it, and it happened very naturally. I think that's what Gus would love to be able to create with Bortles, much harder to do for a number three overall pick than it is a third round pick. So that's where their challenge is, to try to create that environment in a situation where it's very difficult to create that environment where there's not a pressure of expectation.
Well, you're going to have a pressure of expectation being the third overall pick.
Sure.
Like you said, the start of next season at the latest is Blake Bortles' time here in
right.
Jacksonville. And if
yeah.
it's not by that point, then
sure.
that's...
But I don't think anybody expects it not to be. I mean,
of course.
Again, I know the one thing Gus has talked about a lot is he loves the competition part of it and tries to do anything he can with every player not to have pressure as part of that competition, to just make it a natural competition. Again, impossible to do for a number three overall pick. So you try to do that in every way possible to make it as least pressure as possible.
All right, here's the ultimate teal-colored glasses hypothetical for you. After Chad Henne leads the Jags to a 12-4 record and a first-round playoff victory, who's starting the opener next year? I got to believe. Look, I'll tell you
sure.
right now, if I'm the coach and Chad Henne wins me 12 games, good on you, brother, and I'll ride that as long as I can. And
as unlikely as that seems, then I think that would be sort of your – you would bring Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre out of the closet and dust it off as that sort of scenario of, well, you know what, we got this guy and we trust him, but we're not going to upset the apple cart on something that's sort of working.
I think for
it would
degree,
be unorthodox, but wouldn't you love to have the problem?
Well, I think that's kind of what happened with Alex Smith, right?
That's San Francisco.
Alex Smith excelled more than even expected, performed well in the playoffs. They're like, well, we can't really sit
right.
this guy. And had he not gotten the concussion that knocked him out for a week, guy was completing like on a stretch where he was completing like 73% of his passes.
And that's sort of what you want. And it sort of plays back into the Russell Wilson scenario. You, as a coach, what you would love to have is have it happen where all of a sudden it just sort of forces your hand, where the young kid is playing so well where you're like, you know what, I got to put him in because these veterans on this team know that this is the kid, this is the guy. And you just sort of feel like you can't keep that gate closed any longer. That's what you would love to have.
A recent story you did on Jaguars.com was about five of the veteran free agents that have come and what to expect out of these guys. Tony and I asked a question yesterday, which offseason move do you think will have the biggest on-field impact? One single move, how would you answer that question?
Well, I think what you hope is that it's Chris Clemens. Because you would love to be able to sit here on week eight and have national guys writing stories about this veteran who's come back and the knee's great. He's going and he's helped this pass rush that's been so dormant for so long. That's where you would love to see a huge impact in the offseason. So he's the guy that certainly has, if any of these guys have pressure on him, he's probably the guy with the most, because pass rushers is difficult because you're measured by sacks. Sacks are tough to get, so there's going to be a lot of focus on Chris Clemens. So I'd say it's Chris Clemens.
I would still go with Gerhardt over Clemens myself, because he's going to be so vital in how many times he's going to touch football. But, Tony, somebody suggested yesterday, and really you kind of overlook it, and because he was on the team last year, just re-signing Chad Henne.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Sure.
Obviously, it really is probably, if you're talking about one move that is the most critical, because that's what we're talking about here. If Gus Bradley told us this morning, if things go well for the Jags, you're going to see Henne play every game. That's how important he is. It gives you that buffer to bringing Blake Bortles along at the speed you want him to. Gives you continuity in the
offense.
Wonder
too. I mean, would they even have drafted Blake Bortles if they didn't have a guy like Chad Henne in house? Like, if do they believe in Blake Bortles enough to spend the number three overall pick on him? If they really had the idea of 2015 is when we want him to be ready, if they don't have a guy that they feel like is ready in 2014, are they willing to make that pick?
Well, if they didn't have Chad Henne, Chad Henne would have gone somewhere else, right?
Right.
Under this theory. And Houston was a team, for instance. So I think the Jags would have ended up with a Ryan Fitzpatrick type. They would have ended up with something comparable to that, although not a guy that we're talking about who is in the system for the same year. I think you would have still had some kind of veteran in place that's played enough games in the National Football League that you would say he's our cannon fodder, for lack of a better term.
But you wouldn't feel nearly as comfortable as you do with Chad Henne. And, you know, Gus talked a little bit about it when we talked to him. It's so much more comfortable now coming in, and he hates that word comfort, but you know what I'm getting at. Everybody sort of knows what's going on, and the veterans, they know Chad. They know what to expect from Chad. There's not a level of uncertainty when you look over at Chad, if you're Cecil Shorts, if you're Mercedes Lewis. So that was very important in that sense, to keep that comfort level going and have a level of security as Blake starts developing behind this guy.
We're going to talk coming up next about the on-field impact of being without Ace Sanders, at least for the first month, and as we've talked about throughout the show this morning, more realistically, probably the first 6 weeks in terms of getting an on-field impact out of him. So what does that do for a guy like Marquise Lee, a guy like Allen Robinson, in terms of the importance of this training camp? We'll get into that and take some of your feedback on that as well. The Tom Bush Family of Dealerships Fan Feedback Spotlight today, asking you how big of an on-field impact will be felt with the absence of Ace Sanders for at least a month from the Jacksonville Jaguars. You can continue to tweet those responses at MD_1010XL, at John Osier, at 1010XL Fat Tony, at 1010XL Lauren as well. Folks, want to tell you about Foundation Professionals of Florida. Is your home's foundation letting you down? I tell you what, you might not even know the signs and the symptoms of a foundation that might need work. Exterior and interior wall cracks, windows and doors sticking, foundation cracks, sloping floors. There could be more than one solution to your foundation problem. Foundation Professionals offers underpinning, polyurethane and cement grout injection, sinkhole stabilization, even seawall repair. Let Foundation Professionals give you the peace of mind that your home is safe. They'll work with your insurance company, and financing is available. Licensed and insured. Call 287-2690 for Foundation Professionals of Florida, or visit them online at foundationprosfl.com. That's PROSFL, foundationprosfl.com. NFL.com. Coming back, we'll take a look at the on-field impact of being without Ace Sanders for at least the first month of this football season, as it appears, as Jaguars Today continues on 1010XL 92.5 FM. All right, down the home stretch we go. Jaguars Today brought to you by Metro Rooter. Every Wednesday we'll be live at training camp. What you got? We got furrowed brows.
Well, no, it's poker face.
Oh, is that poker face?
Yeah. It's Lady Gaga.
There's another ACE in there. They've all got ace in the title.
Okay, I may be the only one, but I like today's theme.
I don't mind today's theme at all.
Okay.
You might be the only one.
I was trying to think, could there be anyone else that
I'm
like
three for three this week.
Don't discount that only one theory.
I like any theme that I get correct.
Well, you're going to get them all ahead of me. I mean, I've heard this song. This is actually, you know, contemporary, very oversaturated song.
It would have taken me until about now in the
chorus to pick up on what exactly we were listening to. Now, actually, right now I'd be like, yeah, I know that. What is that? I'm not sure.
Don't try to pretend that you're not listening to a little Gaga.
I like a few of her songs. They're good. I have nothing against Lady Gaga. I'm just tragically unwith it. I don't even want to say unhip, because I joked her. People use the word hip, not realizing how unhip it is. The word hip is, it was big when? The 50s? I mean, when was the last time hip was actually a thing?
Been a long time.
And you hear...
Unless you combine it with hop.
People... Yes, correct. Exactly.
And it's still a thing.
Well, it's not. for today's purposes, anyway. You've got Jaguars.com live coming up at 12:30.
Yes.
On, conveniently enough, Jaguars.com. You don't even have to move. You can sit right there in that seat, right?
I haven't moved in a long time. I've been here since last Tuesday.
That's nice. and Shadrick will have that. Coach Gus Bradley is going to stop by live on that as well.
I'm sure Gus will be happy to see me again.
It's me and Johnny O. I guess I can skip this one. No, you can't. So Gus coming back live on Jaguars.com live. And then John will be in with Frank Frangie from 4:30 to 6 this afternoon on 1010 XL 92.5 FM. And if we can twist his arm, we'll get him to stop by our booth out at training camp practice on Friday.
That'll be fun. And, you know, what we should say, training camp coverage is going to be a lot different this year when you combine the fact that you'll be out there every day from 10 to noon, which has never been the case before. We'll be coming by and talking to you guys during that. I'm sure you have Mark Long, Ryan O'Halloran.
The usual suspects.
It's going to be a lively, interesting show. We're going to be doing a lot more Jaguars.com lives to start practice. Not every practice, but I think fans have gotten used to the website. On the open practices during the off season, J.P. Shadrick and I would have Brian on. We would have Tony Baselli on. There at the beginning of practice until team situations get going, talking about what's going on. It's a much more live, what's happening right now feel with your show, with us being out there. I think it's going to be a lot of fun for fans. If they're not there, they're going to really get a feel for what's going on every day out there. And that's neat.
That's the idea. I mean, you know, we've got the relationship now. We've got the ability to do that. And I think most importantly, the desire to do that and to give you as much live programming in that regard as possible. By the way, I want to mention, because we've talked about this a couple of times today, the way to get into training camp is to go to jaguars.com/RSVP. And I've had a couple of people tell me via Twitter, including the latest Jeff Franco here, FrancoJ58 on Twitter, that they left off the Monday, July 28th Bartram Trail practice from the registration form. He said, what gives? I can't tell you. I don't know. All I know is that's where I've been told to go. I think it's possible that it's at capacity, but I don't want
to. Yeah, I'll try to find that out.
Yeah, I tell you what, perhaps an update on Jaguars.com Live on that situation.
We'll give it a whirl.
We'll give it a whirl. We'll tie it all in together. And all the good questions that Johnny O was saving for Gus Bradley coming up as well. Today, we asked the question, courtesy of the Tom Bush Fan Feedback Spotlight, how big of an on-field impact will be felt with not having Ace Sanders in the fold for the first month of the season. I'm sure I worded it more concisely than that. I hope so, Tony. What's some of the responses that we've gotten so far?
Here's what we got on Twitter from Tony Agolini. They start 0-4 with him or 0-4 without him. Maybe it gives the rookie wide receivers more reps. Hashtag Jaguars today. From Robbie, we got rookie receivers are as good as advertised. I read that as written. I'm not sure what it's supposed to mean.
No big deal.
Yeah. Hashtag Jaguars today. Hashtag MD welcome back From Woo-hoo! Irish Jaguar, talent-wise, I don't think it's a huge loss, but the loss will be felt with experience in the system. Hashtag Jaguars today from Ocho Fisho. It will be a huge loss if Doss is garbage. If anything, it gives a guy like Hearns a legit look. Hashtag Jaguars today. From Cam, he's a potential home run threat in special teams. Hurts in the short term, but long run will be fine. Hashtag Jaguars today. From Chris, the answer is a question. How big a loss is it for Ace to lose his spot for good because of his choices? Hashtag Jaguars today. From Kevin, luckily we drafted Lee and Robinson. Will not hurt much unless someone else goes down. Hashtag Jaguars today. From Sean, not one at all. Doss has experience as a punt returner in the league, and Lee returned punts at USC. Two capable guys. Hashtag Jaguars today. From Issachar, not much. He's a rotational player. Jags should see the opportunity to see the talent behind him. Hashtag Jaguars today. And from Bortle Boards, more impact in punt return since he should be more involved there. Hashtag Jaguars today. Hashtag needs t-shirts. Hashtag shameless pandering.
I like that one, actually, though, even before you got to the shameless pandering. And they're crushing the hashtag right now on Twitter. We like that. Some from the Facebook side of things, facebook.com/Jaguars today. Matthew Weldon, probably only the fourth guy rotation-wise, speaking of Ace, but you'd think he'd be huge over the middle as a safety valve if coverage is tight downfield. Get Ace in space. Why haven't we thought of that yet, or have we? That's not bad.
Get Ace in space.
Ace in space. The Ace of Base will play him in space. For now, Ace gets space on the bench. Darn shame. Thomas William Spratley says, not a big loss at wide receiver. Probably going to be the number four. However, I think he was a big loss for the return game because he has the skills to take it to the house on punt returns. Hashtag Jaguars today, which is countered by Dave Staples saying, no loss at all as long as the rookies step up. There are other guys who can return punts. Hashtag Jaguars today as well. That's what it comes down to. He was not dynamic at all on punt returns last year. But as the phrase he himself used, Ace Sanders did in the studio talking with Tony and I earlier this summer, was, my bread and butter has got to be punt returns. That's where I've got to make my mark on this football team. So if Tandon Doss can do that job, right, then you're probably going to be okay. To me, look, we know Mark Easley and Allen Robinson, we hope, will have prominent roles. They'll have as much of a role as they can handle. Does, however, with now the youth that you have, because you have Cecil, then you got these two young guys. I know Hearns is fighting for his spot and his recognition. Is Mike Brown, because of the experience he got with this team last year, best suited to take advantage of the absence of Ace Sanders in the receiving game?
Yeah, I think so. And, again, I just go back to what Ace's absence really robs you of is the competition that Gus likes there. Now all of a sudden you don't have Ace and Doss, you just got Doss. And then you don't have Ace and Mike Brown, a bunch of other receivers, you're one short of what you would like to be. So I think Mike Brown can take advantage of it. So it just takes away that margin for error, and it means you need to have Robinson and Lee and Shorts and Brown, these guys, on the field. It gives you one less option at that position.
Marquise Lee quoted via Jaguars.com. I don't know if he gave this quote to you or not. He said, everything's good.
Yep.
I'm pretty much cleared. They still want me to take it slow as far as right now. During camp, that's when I pick it up.
And what he meant was this week and the non-padded stuff. You're always going to bring a guy back. It's always weird to say a guy's full go at the beginning of camp. If a guy's been injured, they're always going to watch it. They might limit a rep or two here or there. They're always going to tell the guy to be careful. Marquise expects to be going when the pads go on next week.
Have you talked with Allen Robinson or found out where he stands as far as his hamstring?
He's going.
You're good to go.
Yeah, I talked to him yesterday for the same story. He's actually been running routes, him and Blake and Ricky Stanzi and Stephen Morris, during the downtime between OTA's minicamps and training camp.
Where have they been doing that?
He said some field in Jacksonville. I didn't ask him specifically, but they were in Jacksonville, he said. He said he's been running routes, doing stuff this week in the rookie practices. He feels like he's good to go. So much of his was not having any time off since the beginning of last season, going hard, training hard, just wanted to get the hamstring back up to speed where he was 100% going into camp. So I got the feeling that Allen's ready to go 100%, been doing it already, can't wait.
I think those are stories that Jag fans love to hear, because I get that question a lot. Like, are these guys doing that kind of work? You always hear about Peyton Manning gathering his players together, mm-hmm. his receivers together, and other places around the National Football League as well. So it's good to hear, you know, basically a young group taking the initiative
right.
to, you know, just grind. Got to get better every day, John.
And again, in terms of these guys coming back, there's going to be some stories and some notes in the next couple of days about how far guys are along. It's very rare for a guy to have been injured in the offseason and to have been out a little bit in the offseason and come back at the very beginning of training camp and be absolutely full go. They usually want to bring these guys back and make sure that this is their first time at maximum capacity. So you want to make sure they're able to handle maximum capacity, and you want to be smart. So there'll be some of these guys who we list on Jaguars.com as limited and that kind of thing. But for the most part, it sounds like Lee and Robinson are ready to go and ready to get the work that they need to start working toward contributing.
And I'm guessing we won't open training camp up with any Oklahoma drills. I'm guessing.
No.
Probably a safe bet right there.
That's probably pretty safe.
Your fan feedback spotlight brought to you daily by the Tom Butch family of dealerships, which is asking fans daily what drives you. The family of dealerships includes Tom Butch Volkswagen, Tom Butch Mazda, Tom Butch BMW, and Tom Butch Mini. You can visit TomButch.com for more information when you're in the market for your next new or pre-owned vehicle, and follow them on Twitter at Tom Butch Motors.
Yeah, just a quick note before we get out of here. This came down via Twitter just moments ago. Jason Babin has a new home in the National Football League.
Houston.
He has signed a 2-year deal with the New York Jets.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Conflicted now. That was a random guess when I said Houston. So, 2-year deal with the New York Jets.
Yep.
That tells you everything you need to know about the state of the pass rush in New York, I guess. If a guy who was let go by the Jags wasn't going to crack the, I guess, 8-man rotation up front, gets a 2-year deal to go to the New York Jets.
Yep.
So there you have it. Jags getting set to unveil the world's largest video boards this weekend with the Fulham game and the Carrie Underwood concert. Of course, training camp will open up on Friday. Final thought for you, John. Hopefully we'll get a chance to talk to you briefly on Friday's show as well. This first practice, if you're coming, what should fans expect if they're coming out for this?
Well, it won't be in pads. So it's a little like if they came out for rookie camp or the mini camps. It's going to look sort of like that. But I expect energy. I would expect them to want to watch wide receivers versus cornerbacks, all those battles, not quite as intense on the offensive line as it'll be the next week, but it's starting. I mean, this is what everybody's been waiting for a long time, and I think you'll see an excitement level from the team. This team, they wanted their time off. Every player wants their time off. But I did a story right before we left for break. These guys also can't wait to get back and see what this is going to be. I mean, there's a level of excitement on the players, too. The guys are coming together. They know there's more talent than here last year. They believe in Gus. I think there's a genuine excitement to see what this is going to turn into.
Tomorrow on the program, for the first hour at least, Mark Long will be in with us from the Associated Press. Obviously covers the Jags as well. Tentatively scheduled to catch up with Chad Henne on the show and maybe a few drive-by guests as well, as a lot of the Jag core constituent of players will be made available to the media tomorrow morning. So expect a flurry of stories both in social media, Jaguars.com, the TU, and, of course, all across the airways here on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Thanks again to Gus Bradley for stopping by with us today. That's always fun. And more of Gus with John Osher and J.P. Shadrick coming up on Jaguars.com Live. It's at the bottom of the next hour. So tune in for that, as well as XL Prime Time, the return of Joe C., I do believe, coming up today. So for all the aforementioned, for John Osher, for Fat Tony, for Lauren Brooks, and for Joe Fortunato, I'm Mike Dempsey. That does it for Jaguars today on a Metro Rooter Wednesday here on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.